Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Propaganda is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. You can get a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Time running out as well for you to get 15% on conveyancing before the end of September 2021. I'm Dan Moylan. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And so is Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Propaganda is where we find out what's been said about Leeds United. In the first part of the show, we talk about what you've been saying about Leeds United. We get feedback from our TSB Plus subscribers. There's a form sent to them in the wake of each match ball that we do. This is the stuff that they picked out from the match ball and from the game itself against Newcastle, which feels like ages ago now, happened on Friday. So where do we want to start on this? Let's go on the attack. Why not?
Who are we attacking?
Well, Moscow probably is the obvious one, isn't it? Because he's the most optimistic.
Well, I mean, I was going to start attacking Mike Dean, actually, because when I spoke to you...
Literally, are you going to go after him?
Not probably. I saw how strong he is when he barged that Newcastle player to the off the ball. I'd not seen the penalty when you spoke to me on Friday night. What? It's one of the most obvious penalties in the world. And if VAR are not intervening in that, why are they intervening in pretty much everything else I see them intervening in?
It seems like the clear and obvious error wording has now become a thing to hide behind for VAR, because that was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seems so obvious that it just became dismissed. There weren't really any replays of it after the game. They had a brief one at half-time when the others kind of shrugged and went, yeah, that probably should have been a penalty. And then I think it's ref watch, isn't it, where I'm not sure that Stephen Warnock and Sue Smith, two ex-Leeds players, are necessarily the most unbiased gallery of people, but there's Dermot Gallagher as well, all just going like, yeah, penalty that. Yeah. So it's almost like there's because there's not much you can say about it, it's not one that you can replay over and over, and it doesn't involve a scum player. So it's not very exciting for anybody to kind of debate over and over. It's just a penalty. So what more can you say? Should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
So give us a penalty.
Aidan, Jimmy, Matt, Ryan, all picking holes in this one. And Ryan expands upon this, and he's sort of saying, what is the sweet spot? Will we ever find it for VAR? Because it either does nothing or it's completely over the top. And nobody seems to know quite how to use it just yet. And I think the closing words of his sentence are pain in the arse, which, yeah, I get it.
And you're highlighting as well, like the Kyle Walker thing this weekend, where it seemed not anything like as obvious an error as not giving the Dan James one, but then it got looked at endlessly and eventually was overturned. And even after that, there is still a lot of debate as to whether it was the right decision or not. Whereas I don't think anyone would have looked at the Dan James one and gone back and said, oh no, that he's dived there, or it was a tangle of legs or whatever. It just is a foul. I can't see any other way interpretation of it.
Just to draw a parallel, you know when Calvin Phillips, he got that yellow card in the Poland game, wasn't it, after about 7 minutes, because the referee had judged that he'd gone in with his feet up and he landed on the guy's foot when he scooped the ball out with his studs on his foot. So if that's a booking in that game, you've then got to look at this situation with Dan James, who ended up getting studs on his feet as the guy came in for the ball there. Didn't get the ball. Dan James nicked it away. And we didn't get anything. Weird, isn't it?
Well, we didn't even get a foul. So,
yeah.
And that's the difference, is the referee in the England game saw a foul and gave a card. Here, Mike Dean has not seen a foul and given nothing. And I think that's where the question about the VAR sweet spot moves away from the technology and to the personalities. They probably would have mentioned it if the audio feed is given to the Sky commentators and they can hear what's going on. And if the VAR referee was screaming down the microphone from Stockley Park, Dean, you fucked this up. Give a penalty for that, you idiot. And he's, no, I've seen it. I know what I saw. Whether there's an element of that and whether personalities come into play, because can you contradict Mike Dean? I mean, Mike Dean didn't even flinch when Newcastle players are trying to barge him out of the way so they can actually get to the ball. I don't imagine the referees on watching the video footage, get much mileage out of saying to him, I think you should look at that again. I don't. I'm Mike Dean.
And I've been in Ted Lasso.
I've seen it. He had seen it. He was standing right there looking straight at it. So you are relying on somebody watching a video feed to go to tell him you've made a clear and obvious error that you were just staring right at. Why haven't you given a penalty for that? And whether anybody can stand up to Mike Dean and actually tell him these things, and if you do, whether he listens, I wonder how much of that comes into play.
I mean, never mind this this agreement and bonhomie in the studio. Please, Moscow, stop defending Tyler Roberts, says Kevin C. He's consistently proven himself incapable of affecting games like this at this level.
For the benefit of the audio listeners there, there was a shrug.
A resigned shrug.
I mean, Craig B as well says, we have to talk about Tyler Roberts. We really don't. Like, there's nothing on this sheet. Michael collates all the comments from people coming in. Nothing about how well Rodrigo played. 90 minutes of brilliance from Rodrigo. His best game in a Leeds shirt, in my opinion. A week after he'd been written off and everyone said he can never play behind Bamford as a number 10. And he was superb in that role all night. No, no. We have to talk about Tyler Roberts, because you know what there aren't enough of on the internet? Opinions about Tyler Roberts. Half an hour as a substitute and he was shit. I wrote it in my match report and I think it said enough. He came on, he did two good things, five bad ones. The end. But he was fine against Scum when he came on, affected a game, made a great chance for Rafinha, and he was all right against Liverpool for the 15 minutes before the red card put him into a defensive role. When he was winning more tackles in midfield, that was the main thing he did against Liverpool. So he was affecting the game that way by stopping players running through the midfield when him and Bamford just dropped in. But yeah, he came on for half an hour and he was rubbish. I don't care about Tyler Roberts as much as anybody thinks I do. I just don't understand the constant preoccupation of, you know, there were at least 990 cumulative minutes of football played by all our players on Friday night. But what we really need to concentrate on is the fact that in 6 weeks of the season, Tyler Roberts has not become Van Basten. Like, I don't expect him to be much better than he plays. It's like, he is what he is. He's a backup player, comes on. Sometimes he's all right at Old Trafford. Sometimes he's terrible, like he was at Newcastle. Big deal. It just doesn't matter.
To defend people not talking about Rodrigo, he receives, as a spoiler, he does receive a huge amount of hero nominations in the main podcast. So people have not really talked about it, because I think we covered it, didn't we? A bit. I was drunk.
I think so, yeah. We certainly touched on it. Let's assume we did. I can't remember. A lot's happened since Friday. It's now Tuesday as we record this, so, you know, you have no idea. Probably we did. Let's just assume we did. Anyway,
but there are bigger problems as well. Like, why can't Rafinha finish easy chances? That had more influence on this game than it did anything that Tyler Roberts did when he came on. Bamford as well. Bamford wants to be an England international striker and wants to win another cap. He's got to finish chances like the one Rodrigo set him up with the through ball. They're the starting players. Tyler Roberts is a reserve, and he's either, all that's going to happen to him this season is by the end of it, he'll either be a lot better than he has been in his career so far, or Gelhardt will take his place. So there's really, we're in a no-lose situation. We'll either have a brilliant Tyler Roberts or a brilliant Joffy Gelhardt. And if neither of them make the grade, we'll go and buy a player with the money that we didn't spend this summer. So who fucking cares?
I mean, on the one hand, I do agree with you, but that's no fun, is it? And anyway, Mike L has been in touch to suggest that it's time to simply listen to Moscow. Well, no, clown. Not sure why you pound the perpetual injury threadbare squad. This is me he's talking to, by the way. Transfer strategy drum when the players on the pitch tonight were all quality, experienced first team players who failed to take their chances and should easily have been 2 or 3 nil up at the half. Does that mean at halftime?
His words.
His words. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I mean, fine. I accept that as a criticism, but also would also like to say that Ding has picked me out as well and wants to say, we're in the shit because of the lack of midfield in squad, blah, blah, you know, square pegs, round holes, etc. But I usually stop just short of saying what needs to be said, being slightly circumspect. Moscow, on the other hand, won't concede there are serious issues brewing. I don't really get his reluctance.
Because that's not what I think. That's why I don't say it. Like, and let's define serious issues. Are we getting relegated this season? Of course we're not getting relegated this season.
Picked up as well by Sinking Feeling, who's been messaging in. He's now Sinking Feeling's cousin, Perpetual Worry, which is a very long name to have to say every time. But he was highlighting us, saying after every game, we have a tendency to pick out the opposition's best player and say, well, how's X meant to cope here, but we're in this league now, so we need to find ways to cope with it. And it's not good enough to just go, well, Salah's good, Saint-Maximin's good, they're bound to score.
I mean, we did cope with Saint-Maximin apart from the goal.
Apart from the bits where he ran at us with the ball.
But then nothing came of that.
Well, I mean, it did.
It could have done, though.
Of course it could have done. Anything can happen on a football pitch. But second half, all he did, there was one run similar to the one he scored from, but he was blocked, so there wasn't a goal. And then there was the one where Luke Ayling had done his ankle but hadn't come off yet, so he missed that header and it flew backwards off his head. And then he's in behind, and Ayling managed to get back to stop him anyway. And then there was Cooper, timed that perfect tackle to stop him from doing anything. And that was basically all he did in the second half. So, yeah, we let him have one, and we should have done better with that. And there were some other dangerous moments, but they came to nothing. It's not like he ran us ragged and scored seven. We coped with him in the second half with a makeshift defence. And it's not like, I don't think it's in the same bracket as Salah, who is one of the, you know, best players in Europe, if not the world, where you have to sort of concede a bit of ground to him, especially when he's supported by the cast he has around him at Liverpool, who are all brilliant. Saint-Maximin is a different deal, where he's their one good player. And yeah, we fucked up to let him score once. Rest of the night, he didn't do it again.
I do like Sarah Ann's comment about the state of things, because a lot of the comments actually just tap into the mood, whether, you know, on the more favourable, happier side and optimistic, or just slightly pessimistic. Sarah Ann being quite circumspect, asking, wonder if a big part of all our collective malaise is realising how hopeless the Premier League is. That was at the root of my misery following Liverpool, was thinking, we're so far behind them, and it's such a gulf to try and close that it almost feels like it's too far away, if you like, the amount of money they've spent. Like, you know, the song, the Reds have got no money, but we're still going to win the league, and we broke it down, £500 million spent on that team. It's like, wow, it's just frightening, isn't it, the whole thing?
Yeah, I think Sarah Ann's point is a good one, and she expresses it well, what she says. She'll be thrilled just to play well and avoid a relegation battle. But it's sobering to realise that without huge and unlikely structural changes to the league, our best case scenario is mid-table. I think that's where I fit in with things like Tyler Roberts and with things like not being bothered about losing 3-0 to Liverpool. Because when I came in here straight after the Liverpool game, it was like all your pets had died and you found out that for as long as they were alive, they hated you. The mood was incredible. Whereas I was just like, and I get accused of having this kind of rosy optimism, and I don't face up to reality, and I don't see what serious issues are blowing. Who expected us to beat Liverpool? That's the unrealistic expectation.
I mean, I predicted it.
Yes, but
I'm a fool.
Idiots.
Exactly. The unrealistic expectation is doing better than losing 3-0 to Liverpool. And to be honest, if it hadn't been for the red card, 2-0, and even when we were down to 10, it took Sané until the 100th minute.
Sané, who plays for Bayern Munich.
Sadio Mane to score in the at the end.
So I'm glad how we derailed your point then by getting the wrong name.
2-0.
That was fun.
2-0 defeat to Liverpool is absolutely the realistic expectation for a team like us, second season out of the Championship. So that's what I expect. So that's why I come in. And I'm not upset or annoyed or angry or refusing to face up to reality. Imagining that we can somehow beat Liverpool easily off the cuff every time we take to the pitch, that's unrealistic. That's rosy optimism.
Jackie was picked out by Pete specifically. He says, we missed Harrison so much, which didn't really get talked about too much in the wake of this, because everyone, like, you know, toys out of the pram, bigger problems and all that kind of thing. I realised watching James, who was still okay, try to take on players and use his first touch, just how good Harrison is. He was a bargain at 11 million. I think we win a game like that if he plays. Do you tend to agree with that? He makes the difference there just slightly?
He has quietly become one of our most important players, hasn't he? I think from the first season when people wanted Jack Clarke to play instead of him, through the promotion season of last year, he just does seem to edge a tiny bit better. I mean, he's got COVID, hasn't he?
Yes.
Well, he's got a positive COVID. He's got a positive COVID test. We don't know yet whether it's actually afflicted him.
Are you denying COVID exists? Are you saying the tests are wrong?
Just for the sake of the algorithm here, of course I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen
I'm not a swivel-eyed lunatic.
I mean, I've seen him on Instagram. He's still running on a treadmill and stuff with his
deepfake,
ludicrously attractive girlfriend and his marvelous life that he has.
I've seen his dog.
Yeah, part of that.
Not that we envy his life at all.
I mean, he's a good-looking and talented boy. He deserves it, doesn't he?
Yeah, you don't resent him, do you?
No.
But always remember that he's friends with Frank Lampard Jr. So his life isn't perfect.
Well, we'll get onto them all over the course of this week and have a little chuckle at their expense. Anyway, talking about chuckles and expenses, Steve Bruce, Dan Ogden was pleased to pick this one out. And a number of people picked up on this on Twitter. You know, the little clip of the close-up on the touchline when Newcastle changed their shape a bit, because it seemed that they were like 3-5-2 initially, and then they went to a back four, which is what stifled us after that half an hour where we ran rampant. And it was the ass man, Graham Jones, who also sits on the bench for England and is the ass man for Southgate. Him and Matt Ritchie just basically pushing Bruce out of the way and saying, listen, we'll sort this out, Steve. You don't know what you're doing.
They were all talking at once, weren't they? Yeah. And you could see him trying to just tune out Bruce, because it was Ritchie, Bruce, and then Jones, wasn't it? And Bruce at the side, and you can see him just, he's looking at Jones going, I'm trying my best to just ignore what the fat man's saying at the side.
You know what you were saying in the wake of this, Moscow? You didn't quite understand why he's still there. What's the point of any of this? I watched it, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting softer in my old age or whatever, but I started to view him through human eyes during that game when they're all chanting that they wanted him out. And I thought, poor man. It did pass, admittedly, and then I thought it was tremendously funny. But I mean, on a human level, why is he there?
You've just got to remember, wouldn't you have any sympathy for him clinging onto that job? Think of all the jobs that he's walked out on to get another one, where he's been like 2 months at Crystal Palace and he thinks he's got a better job elsewhere and he just leaves. That was the irony of him saying on the eve of this game, says, oh, I won't walk away from a battle. No, but you'll walk away. If somebody offers you some more money, you'll be off like a shot. The only problem he's got at Newcastle, the reason he's stuck there, is because nobody's ever going to offer him another managerial job ever again. Certainly not for more money. So he'll just sit there until somebody...
He'll end up at Derby.
Finally gets him out of there. Well, whatever's left of Derby. Yeah.
I mean, I guess he might get more money if he goes abroad, if he goes to managing Qatar or somewhere, but... Can you imagine can you imagine the sweat rings the second he steps off that plane?
I mean, shares in talcum powder through the roof. Mind you, don't knock talcum powder. Very good.
Is it?
It's great. Great during the summer months.
It's good for dancing on.
Yes, let's do something positive and talk about Melier. And Katie and Nigel both picked out Melier's excellence. Yeah, he's become quietly very, very steady and brilliant. He seems to, and I know I'm totally cursing him by saying this, but having almost eliminated those daft errors out of his game. I know we occasionally see them, but he's in a position where he has to take a lot of risks anyway. The style of the football demands it. But he's looked really, really steady, I think, in the Premier League so far.
And some very good saves in this game. The one, I know it was a near post and the whole thing about keepers should never be beaten at the near post, but that Saint-Maximin shot at the near post, he kicked that really, really hard.
He's been listening to
you, hasn't he? He really did kick it very firmly. And Kiko in net, I mean, or Bailey Peacock Farrell, that is a goal. Like, there's not a shadow of a doubt. They're not even getting a hand to that. Peacock Farrell's trying to get a hand to it once he's been nestling in the back of the net for 5 or 6 seconds. So saves like that. And there was another one he did with a shot across goal that was pretty good. And at some point he will make a mistake and everyone will go, oh, is he too young? Is he naive? Is he not? Do you need a more experienced goalkeeper? But
it's risk versus reward, isn't it?
But we've got to this stage of the season and he's been brilliant. I don't think he's put a foot wrong so far.
He did his mistake for France under 21s, didn't he? So that helps. And also one in pre-season as well. So he's quite good at managing where he makes his mistakes, which only adds to his excellence.
Like, if he does it, I mean, we're recording ahead of the Fulham game, the League Cup game tonight. If he plays in that game, if he wants to make a mistake there,
yeah,
get it out of the way there.
Chuck one in.
It's fine. We're not asked. In fact, Tom Cole's gone into bat for you, Michael. I think he's a fool, but I'll read it out anyway. He says, no need to worry, is there? We're still creating the chances. All we need is Michael up at Thorpe Arch for some kick it really hard at the goal, but not at the goalkeeper, very specific, training, and we'll be back in business.
The work I've done with Gellhart this week is there for all to see.
What did you tell him?
You know what I told him. Kick it really hard at the goal.
I do, yeah. But, you know.
Ideally to where the keeper isn't. But I think Gellhart, actually, he can kick it that hard. He can probably kick it out the goalkeeper and it just go with him. Yeah, there was the Bamford one, wasn't there? I think his standing foot did slip, if you look, watch the replay of it.
Stop making excuses.
He's got shit boots on.
We're not allowed to make excuses or give them any kind of license anymore.
And Click, I think, had a couple from memory that were kind of half chances from the outside of the box, which he didn't quite catch cleanly, did he? Which is, Click is pretty good from that sort of a range normally, so can probably forgive him. But yeah, there were a number of missed chances. And as Moscow said, there was the Rafinha one, which then was followed by the Dan James one, which was then followed by the Firpo one, which was probably the worst miss of them all, because that was essentially just volleying the ball into an empty goal.
I still feel Rafinha, with the talent he's got, like Firpo's a left back, so you don't know how many times he's going to be volleying into the top corner.
He didn't need to volley into the top corner. It was an almost empty goal. Well, he just needed to control it into the net.
What did Rafinha need to do?
The same.
Just shoot. And Rafinha is a forward attacking player who we expect goals from. I don't expect Junior Firpo's going to end this season on 15 goals. I would like Rafinha to, but I'd like him to stick that one away. I'd also like him to stick away the one at Old Trafford that who cannot be named, settled for him.
Coming for Rafinha, who's scored a couple, set up some.
Well,
Tyler Roberts, absolutely. Don't lay a glove on him.
Nope. Well, it's because I'm more worried about the starting players, and I'm not even worried about them, I'm sure. I do wonder why Rafinha didn't take that one earlier, why he let them get back, because it wasn't even like he was putting it onto his other foot. He was absolutely fine with the chances it was set up. He didn't gain anything from delaying. So I wonder, and he's such an aggressive player as well. You'd think wallop it into the net, and that's what it's there to do. So I wonder why that's not there for him, and would like it to be. And then the Bamford one, you know, yeah, fair enough. He slipped, but he's only scored that one at Burnley, hasn't he, this season?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a tap in.
Mm.
So maybe Roberts needs to start. No, I don't mean that, but I think those are probably those moments in this game had more influence on us not winning than anybody coming off the bench. And is Somerville in the heroes?
But listen/slash watch and find out.
Is he just
don't
ignored?
Give the game away? Don't give the game away.
I don't
away.
Think he got a mention particularly. Maybe someone might have said it was nice to see him make his debut.
But listen, Clicky got a mention. Sazzy and Nathan both mentioned.
We're never
Click.
Going to be. I thought Somerville did all right.
Yeah,
you were going to slate him. You were going to say Tyler Robinson had done a better job.
Which is the best way?
Somerville probably did better. And there was Firpo, like the Firpo discussion as well, is worth having briefly because he's mentioned. Mike says he makes us less potent down the left. And I watched the game back because there was a lot of criticism of Firpo during the game. So I watched it again the next morning to identify this shocking performance. I thought he was really good. I think he played very well. And he set up the goal. One of the things that Bielsa's been saying we've not been doing enough this season is winning the ball in the opposition's half and creating a chance. And that's how the goal came. Junior Firpo wins the tackle.
You were going to say Tyler Roberts. That's your reflex, isn't it?
Junior Firpo wins the tackle, passes the ball to Calvin, ball to Bamford. Bamford gets the assist for passing to Rafinha. So he did that, and then he was there to set up the one that Rafinha should have scored from, leads the counter-attack, and then is still up there for the one he volleyed over. And then he's right there at the end of the game when Click nutmegs some fool in the Newcastle defence, and he pulls it back. And again, Bamford kind of stands behind the defender, even though Firpo is at the byline pulling the ball back to him, and Gary Lineker gets in front of the defender and scores in that situation, I think. So there's a little bit
more.
He's
over 60, Moscow. What are you about?
Even then, Wayne Lineker gets in front of the defender, particularly if there's... I think what the difference is, having looked at him a little bit more, he's being compared with Alioski for that kind of storming down the outside. Firpo so far seems to like coming inside from left back, and then he's playing balls out to the wing. Whoever's there. So it's a slightly different way of doing things, but it's becoming more effective, I think. And I really didn't see anything wrong with how he played against Newcastle.
I think Ethan, he says Firpo is brilliant, but also awful. I think there are moments of that in him.
The booking was ridiculous. Like, that was one of the stupidest things I've seen a footballer do. But even that felt like, because he took, we mentioned on the match ball that he took the ball was given to him from a free kick in our half when we're trying to set up an attack, and he kind of strolls forward, gets tackled, and then brings the player down. And it looked to me like a player used to being in Barcelona's reserves in the B team, who probably played in like La Liga 2 or whatever, having loads of space, nobody pressing him, and then suddenly he's got some Geordie maniac on his face trying to get the ball off him. So those kind of things that he needs to get used to, the is cliche, isn't it? Get used to the pace of the Premier League and the intensity, but it's reality when he's just been pissing around at Barcelona doing sod all for two seasons. That'll take a while to get up to, but I really didn't see anything.
Right, Moscow, we've got a request wrong for you then to close out this part of the show.
Is it to sing?
Just while you sat there in your Tyler Roberts pyjamas, Steve Ovenden says, just tell me that everything will be okay, because it definitely will, right?
It should be. I don't think anything's badly wrong apart from loads of injuries. And even then, like the positivity, the positive side of having so many injuries and problems is all those players that we want to see graduating from the under-23s and now just getting that little bit closer to the first team. Somerville made his debut. People have been crying out for weeks, when are we going to see Jimmy given a chance? And he gets his chance, and then nobody's just like, he didn't score a hat-trick, so it doesn't matter. But that's a real positive thing to take from a shitty situation with Harrison having COVID, Rafinha's hips gone, Tyler Roberts isn't the answer, so we're having to bring on, we've loaned out Helder Costa, so we're down to the bare bones. But there's Somerville getting in the team, and that's a good thing. And I thought he was fine. We said he, on the match ball, it took a while to warm up, but then he was the third wheel of the Click Firpo chance right at the end. He is keeping the ball, worrying defenders, making that happen. So that was positive. And if, as we go through the season, more of those players start coming in, it's going to be good. We're not going to be relegated. We're probably going to end up finishing a little bit worse than we did last season. It feels like at the moment, I don't see any reason to think we're going to be 17th. And if we're not 17th, where are we in the Premier League? We're not going to be 6th. So what's the difference between 9th, 14th, 8th, 12th? I can keep
reading numbers,
listing these numbers, but it feels to me like we're still heading for that, and then what will be, and we might score some really exciting goals along the way, and it might be fun to watch. Who was it that said, in the midst of all this, all the feedback that we got, I can't find it now, but it was an exciting game, and that's good. Isn't it? Sometimes it's fun to watch an exciting match.
I think the second half was the frustration in it, because the first half did feel exciting, and I've lost it within the feedback. Someone saying that it felt like we were a little bit back to our old selves, and there was the same sort of attacking movement there, and the pressing felt like we were on it again, and we were actually going at them in a way that we haven't done this season. So there was some of that back. But then the second half, I guess Newcastle changed shape, and it did seem to fall flat a little bit.
But even then, second half is when there was the Bamford chance, and there was the one right at the end, and there was other... I always felt like we were doing more of the attacking, and it reminded me, as I put in my match report on the blog, that we were very used to games like that in the Championship, which is where Newcastle belong, where teams do just go into their shell, they're playing for a point, and we're trying to play our way through, and in the end we keep hammering on the door, and sometimes we get through, sometimes we don't, and sometimes you just take the point. And it's annoying because all the pre-match stuff about Newcastle falling apart didn't really come to pass. Not even their protest didn't really happen. The pressure on Bruce didn't really tell. I don't know if because of what Graham Jones is able to do, where they're letting Steve Bruce set them up as 3-5-2, and then 20 minutes in, he's going, do the thing we worked on in the afternoons after Bruce had gone home. Whether there's some of that happening.
Don't accuse Steve Bruce of not working hard enough, or he will shout at you at a press conference, won't he?
Remember when he was in Portugal and we did all the stuff? So it's frustrating that none of that really came to pass, and like the 7-0 win that we were all hoping for wasn't realised. But I think we played well, and the only difference between us and victory was Mike Dean and finishing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
In this part of the show, then, we will find out what the Geordies thought about all this. And are they a happy bunch? There's the big question. What did they make of it all? Because they were not a very happy bunch going into it, Michael.
No, it was just a bit sad watching them. They were not. They've lost the... A lot of them seem to have lost, like, the anger. And there's just a sad resignation about the whole thing. I mean, we'll come on to some of the later clips, but it just reminded me a lot of the Bates Leeds era, where people are just like, ah, what? Just why are we doing this? What is the point of it? But first of all, here's from the live watch along on Newcastle Fans TV. We come across these quite a lot, and you quite often get like the Arsenal Fan TV reaction where people are going mad about things, and it's very performative, and they're trying to make it clear how upset they are. I mean, this is how the Newcastle fans treated our opening goal. They're in the middle of discussing...
Don't give it away. People can listen.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It might actually be an English derivative. I don't know.
I don't know. But Leeds are on the attack again. Calvin Phillips to Bamford.
I've just seen Jay's, though, about brisket. Like, I'm all for some American barbecue.
It's 1-0 Leeds, and it's an absolute peach of a goal.
Who scored? Rafinha?
Rafinha it is.
Was it actually Rafinha?
It was.
Brilliant.
Oh, that sigh. That sigh.
I have looked up a recipe for braised brisket with bourbon peach glaze. So they can...
Southern barbecue stuff, isn't it, brisket? Mm.
Is that what they were talking about?
Yeah, they were just discussing brisket, and then Leeds scored, and there was mention of a peach.
They'd been asking people for a score prediction and a preferred takeaway. So it was coming through like minutes prior to this, so kind of going Indian 3-0, Italian 2-1.
Right.
They were kind of doing that, but then they were just still talking about barbecues and brisket and curries and stuff of when...
Which is basically where it's got to with them, is it?
Yeah, essentially. So
there do seem to be a few brisket venues in Newcastle. The Longhorns Barbecue Smokehouse.
Oh, that's right next to my old work, yeah.
Right. Cracklin.
Didn't go there.
There's one called Texas Smoker. Obviously, brisket is the star of Longhorns Barbecue, and you can get delivery. So there's a few places doing brisket delivery.
Walked past it hundreds of times. Never went in.
My night out in Newcastle ended with me having an argument with someone in a takeaway, which was nice. The people who owned it, because I think I ordered like mixed grill and chips. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really look when you're paying, do you? I just sort of ordered it and then beat my phone. Noticed it was £15, and I was like, oh, that's a lot of money, isn't it? So I was looking at the boards, £9.50 mixed grill, £2 chips. I was like, hang on, mate.
Did you get a drink?
Nope, no drink. Save money, and I was going to out the tine or whatever later on.
Yeah.
But I was like, hang on, this is too much. And he was like, oh, no, that's the daytime price up there. I was like, that's not a thing. And he was like, oh, well, it's an old price. We've changed them now. I was like, well, you need to change it over there then as well. And he's going, oh, well, no, it's because it... And his manager's over by this point trying to explain to him. He's going, no, it's because it takes a long time to cook, so that's why it's more expensive. And I was like, why don't you put the price
happened? I'm gripped. What happened?
I considered myself to be some sort of freedom fighter. By this point, I thought I was like Nelson Mandela or something.
Did you jump over the counter, you banged the till open with your fist and took £2 out or whatever it was?
I did instead stand there until they gave me a refund, telling everyone else to check how much they've been charged. So eventually they gave me £15 to piss off.
Right.
So I got my money back.
Did you eat food?
Did a bollocks. And then I regretted it enormously because my friends that I was with both had kebabs to walk home with, and I walked home without anything.
That's the act of a foolish martyr, isn't it?
It really was stupid. Like, I was just thinking, I should just pay the extra £3.50. I was sad about it after that point. But I feel like it was a victory for decency. Someone has to, don't they? And I am tired as well.
Watch out, Martin Lewis, money-saving expert. Michael's on your case here. He's going to take down your multi-million pound empire.
But anyway.
Another positive to take is if you don't want to be getting a takeaway in Newcastle, I found another recipe for brisket sandwiches. Slow cooked in Newcastle brown ale.
Nice.
That sounds good, doesn't it? And then you stuff it in a bun with sticky sweet onions and blue cheese. But yeah.
Steve Bruce is watching this, trying to catch up on what people are saying about him. His mouth will be watering. It'll have turned off right now. He'll be down the supermarket.
I do like a good blue cheese.
Yeah, and you've nestled a brisket in the roasting tray and then poured about two bottles of brown ale over it.
Anyway.
That's a good start to the day, isn't it?
Anyway.
It's not even brewed in Newcastle anymore, is it? Brown ale. It's I think they've fallen out with it over there because it's made in Tadcaster or something now. Brown ale, I think.
Bottle of dog. You imagine, I'm trying to picture what Steve Bruce has for breakfast. I imagine that probably starts with cereal and brown ale, doesn't it? And maybe a phone call.
Good timing that, wasn't it? Anyway, I've silenced it. Right, let's get back onto the clips anyway. This is after the game.
Yeah, this is after the game, so you can kind of hear the sirens going about. And this is the one that really reminded me of Bates' era Leeds, because this is essentially all that happened at games, and it's just so miserable.
You look at it and think, there's Bruce chance, there's Ashley chance. There was fans clashing with each other. Tell them, don't sing to support the team. Make sure you're singing about Bruce. Make sure you're singing about Ashley. And then you're seeing, obviously, one or two people try and get on the pitch. It nearly happened.
I'd missed the attempted pitch invasion, though I have since seen some footage of it. Did it come across on TV?
Only you saw some stewards running to the corner.
It was filmed from a really low angle, wasn't it, Moscow? Do you remember? Like it was in the near corner, and then it was all kicking off in the far corner. It was a really low angle to the pitch. I think it might like the touchline cam, and you just saw a swarm of orange, didn't you?
Yeah, and then it was a tweet from somebody said, "Oh, somebody's tried to get on the pitch."
It was a single tweet protest.
Yes, and that was basically that. And then and you could hear the chants at the end coming through that were funny.
It is nice, you know, to be reminded of how unhappy we were, and to see these lot as really, really unhappy now. And it's just a reminder that things are okay.
I suppose just about. I mean, I did feel a little bit sorry for them in some ways, in a way that I don't really for Derby. I feel like they've probably done their time of Newcastle. I mean, the next bloke is Magpie TV, who we had on last year. He was quite complimentary about Leeds. It's gone so badly for him that he's obviously gone to unit, and the place he's picked to go is Southampton. Just so he can get as far away from there as physically possible. So this was his take on the game.
I'm glad I'm moving down to Southampton. I don't have to put up with this every week. I came back up the day because my course is starting next week. And I thought, right, I'll go to the game tonight. I probably won't get St. James for at least another month or two or three. I'm in no rush to go back. I've already got my ticket for Watford away next week. But to watch Newcastle, it's just fucking horrible, isn't it? It really is. It's just boring. It's just... Why don't we play with three behind the striker? Why don't we play with St. Almiron and Joe behind the Gale, or obviously Wilson if he was fit somewhere else? We just don't see enough of the ball. We're camped in our own half. We'll go for the long ball. We'll wait for the fucking chance on the break. Hope that St. Maximum can produce a bit of magic like he did for the equaliser. Just down to him to do everything. It's so shit, man. I cannot be arsed with it.
I mean, it is a long way from Southampton to Newcastle. It really is.
Is there still a flight? I think you'll be getting the aeroplane.
Yeah, maybe. That seems very ostentatious for a student, though.
If they suddenly get good.
Maybe.
They'll have to find a way. But yeah, it's very reminiscent of... I recognise the pointlessness. I don't know how far my sympathy extends, though, because one... I don't know that person's preferences for a new owner, but all the stuff about it being a Premier League conspiracy to stop them being owned by what seem on paper to be really quite terrible owners. Just try and get somebody better, if you can, because... We went from several frying pans into several fires. And I think if there was one bit of advice I could give to a Newcastle fan, it might be terrible now, but just keep an eye on who's coming in and don't assume that they're necessarily going to be good. And then the other part of it is they are in the Premier League. Like Bates always kind of did enough. He did enough to get us out of League One, whether by deliberately or by accident. And then it was kind of keeping us treading at that point. I think Mike Ashley recognises that he has to at least buy a Willock to keep them in the Premier League, because if they get relegated, this worthless thing that he has is going to be worth even less. So there's going to be that, and that's where the boredom fits in, but at least you get to see Leeds play. Whereas who did we have coming to players like Rotherham?
Yeah.
And they didn't even...
Consider yourselves lucky, hey?
They didn't even have Becchio with them at the time. So it could be worse, lads.
Binks and UFC then. Another exercise in hopelessness.
He's a bit livelier, this lad. This is after the game. He's back in his house giving player ratings. It's him talking about St. Maximin, and I think he's got something that you could take on board for when defiling Tyler Roberts.
I mean, he's not far off, to be honest.
He's given half a chance defending Tyler Roberts. I'm not sure you can pull it off quite as well as him, but we'll.
You're going to pull it off as well.
All hail the fucking GOAT, Alan Saint-Maximin. What a goal that was, and what a performance. They just couldn't handle him. And it's like every team in every game, they just couldn't handle Alan Saint-Maximin. And that's the facts, right? Himbers and Rafinha, two brilliant players. That was the stun of the show, really was. But Maxi performed yet again today. Liam Cooper had a roller coaster of a game, just couldn't do anything with Maxi. Luke Ayling and centre-back couldn't do anything with Maxi. The pace and the power and the strength he has, but the skills as well, he's unstoppable, and he deserves so much more, right? He's got more goals and assists than Sancho, Grealish, Kevin De Bruyne and Mahrez all put together this season. He's finally scoring and assisting goals. 4 goals and assists in 5 games. And fancy he's got no end product or anything. Suck your mum.
I will say this, like, if and when they sell him, I mean, let's imagine they sell him next summer and that's the chosen path. It's going to be ugly, isn't it?
They're completely aware of it. I listen to a lot more than we are playing out here, but they're all basically acknowledging the fact that they're a one-man team. They are Southampton of Matt Letizia era. It's give it to him and hope something happens. And if it doesn't, well, we'll probably go down. It's like the bit at the end of last season when him and I think Almiron were both injured and it looked like they were going to go down for a bit because they couldn't pick up any points with him out of the team. But next time, when Tyler Roberts does score a goal or assist,
I mean, let's
suck your mum.
Long way.
That's what I want. That's what I want you saying.
What I really took from that, though, is that if we ever sell Liam Cooper, I'd love him to go to Newcastle just so he can be rightfully Liam Cooper.
Do you know that is not beyond the realms of possibility? If
I'd wish him a better fate than that.
Well, there's a world where they go down and we stay up, and we decide to get a new centre half.
We're not selling Liam Cooper to a Championship club. He'll be going to
Real Madrid.
Yes.
Like Jonathan Woodgate?
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Liam Cooper.
His reaction to Mike Dean then. I haven't heard this. You have, Michael. What's in store?
Well, he's one of these people who films inside the ground as well. And he doesn't film all of it, but I happened to be filming when Mike Dean blocked one of their players. And his reaction to it is just quite funny.
Foxy!
He is a disgrace.
It's 3 syllables. Disgrace. And you can, if you put that together with Liam Cooper, it all kind of comes together very well, doesn't it?
Wow, I enjoyed that. True Faith, then, what have they got?
Oh, more misery. We'll end on a real note of misery from them. Fair enough.
I mean, will this make me feel better about Leeds United?
It may do, to be fair, yeah. As bad as this season is kind of going, I think we all hoped we'd have at least 6 or 7 points, didn't we, by now? It's not as bad as this.
One is, well played, lads. Could have won it, lads. Could have done this, lads. Who are we going to beat? Who are we going to beat? Like, Southampton are the worst away team in England. Like, right down to the fucking Northern League, that Sunderland player, they're the worst team. Burnley, haven't got any money, couldn't beat them. Leeds have turned up tonight with about 3 fit players in defence, and none of them any good, and we can't beat them. Who are we going to beat? Who are we going to beat? That's my concern. Poor result. It was an entertaining game because it was end to end. Leeds will be happier probably with the result because they've got a lot of injuries. They've got a suspension to a key player. And now they've turned up and they've got a point. On the balance of play, they really should have won the game. They had more chances, more opportunities than us. I'm really concerned about Newcastle this season. I think we're going to get relegated unless they change the manager. St James's Park was unequivocal tonight. We want Brucey out. That's what I feel most Newcastle fans want. That's what I think everyone in True Faith wants. Bruce needs to go or we're going to get relegated.
You're right, Michael. I do feel better about Leeds after that. I feel great.
I don't think anyone wants Bielsa out yet, do they?
No, not at all.
And although he did point out that none of our defenders are any good, which was a little bit harsh of him.
But then with this, the other side of his mouth, that Pascal Stroik is a key player, which he's becoming, but I'm surprised to hear other fans of other clubs think so. Because I couldn't name a Newcastle defender. They've got Lascelles, haven't they? The Earl of Harewood. And beyond that, I don't know.
Darren Peacock, Steve Howie, Warren Barton, John Beresford, Philippe Albert.
He was good.
I can name loads of them. Yeah. Easy.
And did they have a song for Philippe Albert which went to Rupert the Bear? Philippe Albert. No, have I invented that? I don't know.
They should have done.
I hope so. Anyway, well, yeah, they're an unhappy bunch and it genuinely does. And this is what it's all about, isn't it? It's about relativity, is this podcast. It's either we feel bad about someone else gloating over us or we feel good because they're miserable. And
it's like Einstein himself is presenting it.
Exactly. And Mel Morris, you've chosen to add a clip of Mel Morris because Derby are in the mud, I believe, is what the kids say these days. They're not in a very, very healthy position. They're not in a very happy position. So should we go back in time and find out what Mel Morris had to say when he took over at Derby?
Let's. He's. I think he expected it to go better than it has.
Yeah.
Is all I'll say.
I think we need to be a lot more transparent in how we operate. That doesn't mean we're going to start spreading rumours about who we might buy in the window. That's not what I mean. But we should be transparent about what we're trying to achieve, how we're trying to go about doing that. So that will be the start of a series of meetings over the course of the season where we plan to get fans in to be able to understand what we do, the preparation we put into games. You know, if people want to understand our finances better, then we'll show them our finances. We have nothing to hide. This club, I believe, is in the best financial shape of any club in the Championship.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Prospect of what's to come?
But head and heart are in balance.
I mean, they say a week is a long time in football. 6 years in football is a lifetime.
Not trying to hide anything.
Nope.
Not trying to hide anything. Finances in good shape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Correct. Healthiest club club finances in the Championship.
And they might have the healthiest finances in the Unibond second division or whatever it will be that they're starting in next year when they sell their season tickets. But yeah, it's quite a turnaround there, isn't it? Heart and head in perfect unison. He's not getting carried away. Just spend within the means. And if you want to look at the finances, that's fine too. You can have a look through.
You could just walk in, couldn't you? Just make an appointment, knock on the door. Can I come and just have a look at the books? Like, yeah, come on in. I will let you know what's going on. Oh, that didn't happen, did it? Ah, well. Well, that wraps it up, I think, for the opposition propaganda. We will return with more propaganda in the wake of, who have we got this time? Cockneys. Cockneys. Always a treat. Isn't it, eh? Apples and pears.
Love their mothers and all that.
And we'll see you for that.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.